This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Checkpoint Intimates.
Welcome to another episode of Checkpoint Intimates. We are a weekly gaming podcast where two members of the Checkpoint team get down and dirty and intimate on a particular gaming topic.
Yes, we're here.
We are here. We're queer.
Get used to it. No.
I didn't know where I was going with that.
We're here. We're talking about modding.
So my name is Elliot. Your name is Rachel. Your voice is still very husky, but we're going to power through and talk about modding.
Yes, and it's perfectly suited for an intimates episode.
It is.
I'm back to the old 0005 numbers.
If I don't look at you, I can pretend you're a man.
It's not that deep and husky. It's very sexy husky. I'm going with it. I'm riding this to the inevitable doom.
It is sexy husky, and it's perfect for intimates. But I don't know if it's perfect for modding. Maybe somebody could mod your voice to make it sound normal again.
Yes, mod me. Actually, don't ask the internet to mod anything. No. I've learned that lesson.
Rule 43 or whatever it is.
Rule 1.
So modding is this huge phenomenon in PC gaming, and it has been for a long time, where basically players in the community can go into the files of a game and alter it. And they create these mods for a game which change the gameplay, or it changes the visuals, or it changes some kind of aspect of the game, right?
Or they fix a game with mods.
Yeah, absolutely. And there have been examples where a game releases and it's in this really buggy or incomplete or messed up state. And so somebody comes along and creates a mod that actually fixes all those issues and creates a better game.
Or accesses the files that the developer cut off. Knights of the Old Republic 2 springs to mind, where they finished the game but just cut off all the files.
Really? Because they didn't have time to, like, complete the game? Or
they completed it partially, but then apparently LucasArts didn't want to run with what they'd completed, so they just cut the files off.
And then mods found that and restored them to playable state.
Yeah, restored the player's state of, like, so we got all of one particular character's end of storyline in a whole world for another character. So he had one character, HK, had a whole world.
Yeah.
And HK was the best character because he called everyone meatbag.
Mods can do some absolutely crazy things. The game that springs to my mind first and foremost is a game called Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines, which is one of my favorite games of all time and one of your favorite games of all time that I've learnt today, which is good because not that many people know about it and it needs to be more well known. The problem with the Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines is it released incomplete.
Yeah.
They ran into budget limitations or time limitations and
I think ran into all the limitations.
And they really struggled to put out a perfect product. So they put out what they had. And even that was, like, fantastic.
To be fair, it was still a perfect product. It was just an incomplete product.
It was a perfect product hidden by, like, unfinished work and bugs and glitches and all these errors. But then the modding community, being this awesome thing that it is, came along, found those files and decided to restore and fix it.
And so now,
like, if you ever go into Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines, like, it's always recommended you find the unofficial patch, which kind of fixes all those issues. Because it's such, like, this versatile, deep mod. And they've done similar things to KOTOR as well, because I've played the game both unmodded and modded. And at the start of the game, when you run it with the unofficial patch mod, what happens is it presents you this option where it's like, do you want to play with just the base game, or do you want to play with all this additional content that was unfinished by the developers and therefore never actually published and put out to gamers, but the kind of bare bones of that of those gameplay sections were still there, and modders restored it to playable state. So
I think
what a mod can do.
Yeah, I think KOTOR didn't suffer as bad as KOTOR 2. But, definitely, like, Masquerade, just, I haven't been able to bring myself to play it modded because I actually cried because the game was so perfect but so broken. And it's such, like, I played the D&D, I read the books, to play the game, the video game, and have it broken
Yeah, it's a shame.
Yeah.
So for those unaware, Vampire the Masquerade was an RPG third person where you chose the clan of vampire you wanted to play, and then you were thrown into the like a real life setting where you had to kind of hide your vampirism, I guess. It's called the Masquerade if you break it and let humans know that you're a vampire. And so you have to hide it. And there's all this like internal politics and lore and all this really awesome content going on behind the scenes and fantastic writing and voice acting. And
honestly,
oh my God.
It translated everything from the D&D campaign beautifully into a game, and they cast it brilliantly.
And I'm so glad that mods were able to fix what was an incomplete game, because now there is a product out there purchasable and fixable that ends up, like, I would recommend it to everyone, kind of, like, it's that fantastic. And
even then, now, it's a game worth playing.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then on the flip side, you have mods that do nowhere near quite that much. Like, say, look at a game like Skyrim or any of the Bethesda products, because people love to mod those games. Like, Minecraft as well. Like, these are the kind of games that people will look at and go, mod. Partially because the developers leave it open and accessible for people to mod, and partially because they're just these really expansive worlds and a lot of players like and play those games, and there's a lot to do.
I was going
to
say, I think even some of the Skyrim developers create mods for Skyrim in their spare time just because it's fun.
Because why not?
Yeah, just because can.
And they range from like visual upgrade mods to ridiculous mods like... like nude mods, for instance, which is a big thing in gaming in the mod scene. Maybe one that is talked about under the hush-hush sometimes.
The fig leaf mod.
We're intimates here, so we want to get into this kind of stuff because naked mods are just massive in video games. You can't find a modded game without a naked mod being available where it just presents all the characters as naked people.
I think it started in The Sims. I really do. I have to say, I think this is where the naked mod started. It's like the naked man, the naked mod. I think it started in The Sims.
Yeah, it probably did. I mean,
everyone wanted to see that little pixel shift to the left and have their Sims in full glory.
Well, The Sims just tantalized you, didn't it, by giving you those pixels. It's like, oh, if I squint hard enough, who knows what I'll see.
I wanted to see my little Sims package. And then you saw your Sims in bed. Apparently, there's a mod to see your Sims actually doing it.
Yeah, rather than just like under the covers.
Yeah, instead of that little that like little rough cloud, and tumble. Yeah. Because apparently we're all perverts deep down inside. We want to watch our Sims go at it.
Look, the modding community is big. And if part of that community is perverse, then so be it. Like, it is what it is. If you want to look at little pixelated dongs, why not look at little pixelated dongs?
Well, why not? Yeah, I mean...
I'm glad we have the option, even if it's not something I've actually downloaded myself.
What's probably more concerning is if it starts to get to the stage where you're modding your unpixelated Sim.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe.
I'm sure there's someone out there who is going that deep into the modding. It's a very precarious rabbit hole.
It is. But modding is only growing, right? Because for such a long time, it was part of the PC gaming scene, and then consoles are looking to bring it on board, and now you've
I think they have already.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's still in its rudimentary phases, but there are mods available to get on console.
Yeah, PlayStation 4 has incorporated mods for Skyrim.
Yep.
And
it's always Skyrim, isn't it?
Yeah,
Skyrim is like the test dummy for everything.
Skyrim is so heavily modded. And it's always Skyrim. And I think it's also included in Minecraft as well.
Yeah, wouldn't surprise me because they're two of the biggest examples of modern games that people still play that are just modded the hell out of. Like, people want to mod those games.
I'd be surprised if the core game actually still exists anywhere. It's probably just a modded format of the original
actually,
game.
Speaking of which, I'm pretty sure I've played probably 10 times the amount of modded Minecraft than I've ever played the base game because that game needed something extra for me to like enjoy it, and mods just found that way.
The original game was nothing. As soon as you got a modded version, it's like, oh yeah, this thing's great.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for me, part of it is that the game looks like garbage. like but the blocky aesthetic aside, like, the game looks like garbage. You can keep that blocky aesthetic but make it still look really pretty, and mods have helped do that, or texture packs, which is a form of modding, I suppose, but they call texture packs. But still, like, I can't play that game without a texture pack because it looks like absolute filth.
Aww.
Like, I'm sorry, Notch, or, you know, whoever ended up working on the art for that game, but...
Aww, poor Minecraft.
Poor Minecraft. No, not poor Minecraft. That game has been incredibly successful to a degree that nobody should ever be that successful.
To a degree that poor little square block should never be successful.
We've been talking about Bethesda and, like, Skyrim and Fallout as far as their mods, but Bethesda's actually doing this new thing that has been highly, highly contentious. So we need to talk about Bethesda's Creation Club, which has been their way of making mods that you can buy. And part of the proceeds go to Bethesda and part of the proceeds go to the modder. Now, previous to Bethesda's Creation Club, mods have always been a free entity. That is, if you want to make it, it's a hobbyist job, you do it, you upload it, and the people enjoy what you've done. Maybe they donate to you if you provide that link, but that's not a requirement to go in. Yet Bethesda saw this as an opportunity, I guess, and they're charging for mods now through their Creation Club, which is currently in beta. It's been in beta for, I think, like a week and a half, so it's really fresh, but some people don't like it.
I kind of saw it coming, to be fair.
What, the paid mods or the criticism of it?
Both. Like, yeah. I saw paid mods coming because, look, mods are such a big thing now. And with Bethesda being modded to hell, it was inevitable.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, inevitably, Bethesda were going to go, hang on, look, we've been giving you all these mods. Eventually... the light bulb was going to go on and we're going to start charging for it. And then they've kind of gone, oh, well, hang on, maybe the people who are making these mods are going to want a little bit of something, something. And so everyone win-win. You get your mods, we get a little cut of the pie, and you get a little bit of your piece of the action.
Yeah.
So...
look, I think that's the positive way of looking at it, because I agree. I think the one thing to take away from Bethesda's Creation Club is that modders do this insane level of work and they don't get paid for it.
Well, yeah.
And sometimes they deserve a cut of money. But the cynical part of me says, well, why is Bethesda getting anything? Like, they've made a game, they've made their money from the game, they've made money from Skyrim like 10 times over. Why are they getting a portion of the proceeds that the modders are putting their heart and soul into, and why are gamers paying for something that they previously never had to?
Well, I guess it's kind of like a publisher fee in that essence.
Yeah.
I mean, no matter whether they were going to do it themselves and make it themselves, there's always a publisher's fee out there somewhere. Yeah. So it's a kind of like this harsh reality of, like, no matter what you're going to do, you're going to have a publisher fee. So it's kind of this little network in. So that's my way of looking at it.
I agree. The thing is, I would think that paid mods are a good service if and only if those mods are heavily curated by Bethesda, they're looked at, and only the cream of the crop are put out to the players, right? Like, if I'm paying for a mod, I want it to be this fantastic mod that is definitely going to work with my game. Bethesda has curated it and looked at it and said, yes, this will function perfectly fine. There's no errors. There's no glitches here. This will work and it'll add to your gameplay experience. Like, that's what I want from a paid mod.
So, but, like, your mount being a unicorn that farts rainbows kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, who wouldn't pay for that?
Exactly. That's right. That's what I'm saying.
But as the Creation Club goes into beta, what we're actually seeing a lot are these mods that have already been free being taken down from free sites and being re-uploaded as part of the Creation Club. So they're taking away something that was already free. And not to mention that a lot of really small kind of shitty mods are out there charging for money, right? The famous example going around at the moment is that you can get, like, recolors for your Pip-Boy, which is just a really lame thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's just cosmetic microtransactions at that point, except they're not even being made by Bethesda. Like, somebody else is doing this and selling it to you. And it's just not very... like, you don't get excited for that, right? Like, if you were going to mod a game, you would do something awesome. You wouldn't change the color of your Pip-Boy slightly.
Yeah, I think it's still too early to call it at this stage. I think it's still in that infancy of where the Bethesda Creation Club's going. And I think they're still teething as to what they're doing, how they're going to moderate it, what they're going to charge for, what they're going to leave free, and where they're... I think what they might be doing is they're uploading everything to the Creation Club.
Yeah, they've let the floodgates and open and anything can go in.
And then they're going to have to moderate it. And then they're going to have to decide what's going to be free content, what's going to be charged content.
Well, the thing is, it's all freaking charged content at the moment. They're not letting any free content in because that's what they want. Like, they wanted to create a paid mod service where they start benefiting from this, right? Because that's they've put time and effort into creating this Creation Club. And they're going to have to continue to work on that and provide servers or whatever. So they want to make money off this. This is a business venture for Bethesda, and they want to profit from it. And I'm okay with that as long as it's this stellar product, as long as it's worth paying for. Mm. As soon as it's not worth paying for, it becomes money-grubbing and greedy and really unfortunate.
What's the percentage that Bethesda gets?
Oh, I mean, who knows, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to tell us that. Or if they do, I don't know it off the top of my head. But, yeah, they're taking probably a fairly sizable percentage, presumably.
Probably that 30%, that mystery 30%.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, if I was to take a guess, I would say around that, because that tends to be the go for the retailers to take that kind of 30%. But who knows? I mean, we'll see where it goes. It is still in beta. I hope it creates more meaningful content. And I hope mods don't keep moving in this paid for only scheme, because modding and the community around modding was fantastic and booming, and you know,
it'd be sad to see it die.
It'd be sad to see it die in this way. I don't think it will. I think it won't die, because I think people, if the Creation Club is a massive failure, they're just going to go back to what they know and love.
Yeah.
But it might mean that games release further down the track from Bethesda that don't support mods in the traditional sense and only support them through Creation Club. And that sucks. Like, I don't want to live in that world.
It'd be sad too, because it was kind of like Bethesda were the creation of mods and then the destruction of them.
Yeah.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy on that one.
Anyway, that's all the time we've got for you today. We've been talking about mods here on Checkpoint Intimates. Join us next week for another intimate conversation about gaming.
This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.